At dawn, Jesus went to the temple complex again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. "Teacher," they said to him, "this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They asked this to trap him, in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, "The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman in the center. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." I hate this passage. I really do. Because it makes me have so many questions. I read it and I think, oh, come on here. What's happening? The first question I have is, where's the guy? They say she was caught in the act of adultery. So where's the bloke? They've only got the woman there. They want to pelt her with stones until she dies, which was the form of capital punishment that they had in those days. It was what they did. It was a national thing. And their law said that someone caught in adultery was to be stoned to death if there were witnesses. But they say there were witnesses. They say they caught her in the act. So they should have done it. Or should they? Well, I would like to know what happened to that guy. And do you know what I think? I think that guy was one of them. I think that woman was the sort of woman that had a number of dalliances with a number of men, and that some of them were leaders in the synagogue. Some of them were hypocrites. Some of them were people that taught one thing but wanted to make a point to Jesus another way. People who lived lives that were nothing to do with God, and yet when God is in the midst of them, they have the audacity to accuse someone. The other thing I look at this, I say, what did Jesus write on the ground? The Bible doesn't tell us. Well, that annoys the life out of me. I want to know, what did Jesus write on the ground? Well, I've thought about this a lot, and I might have some answers for you. You see, my first thought is that Jesus writes on the ground, "Aaron, last Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Benjamin, Friday morning, 10:30. And I sort of wonder whether or not Jesus put down the last list of recent men that had slept with her and times, and one by one they got up and walked out the room. I think that's a possibility. But do you know what I really think? I think Jesus was writing a list. I think Jesus got down and he wrote, number one, no other gods. Number two, no idols. Number three, you will not misuse the Lord's name. Number four, keep the Sabbath day. Number five, honour your father and mother. Number six, do not murder. Number seven, do not commit adultery. And I reckon by the time he got to number seven, they'd all gone. Because actually, they'd all done it. We actually know historically that marriage vows were not kept very well in that time, in that place. We know that. And you know something? There must have been something powerful about silent writing in the dust that it made people go out. I was listening to someone the other day, and the friend next to me said, you know, he had a debate with Richard Dawkins. He ran rings round Richard Dawkins. And I leant back and said, well, doesn't everybody? Because you see these things on YouTube all the time. So-and-so running rings around Richard Dawkins. And there's a lot of people that can give him a run for their money. But you know, Jesus, the most powerful debater on the planet, didn't say anything. He just wrote in the sand. And I wonder what it was that was so powerful about that writing. You know, my mind goes back to a place in the Old Testament where the hand of God wrote in the plaster of a wall. I wonder if Jesus wrote in the sand there, mene, mene, tekel, parsin. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. That's what the hand of God wrote on the wall at Belshazzar's feast. And that night, Belshazzar's kingdom was invaded by the Persians and overcome, and Belshazzar died that night. You know, I wonder if when they saw that hand writing in the sand, in their mind they went back to that time when the hand of God had written in the plaster. I wonder if they were scared witless by the hand of Jesus writing in the sand. I wonder if they were scared witless by the words that he wrote. Maybe it was a timetable for liaisons, maybe it wasn't. But you know, the words of God in the Jewish history had terrified the children of Israel. There was a time in which God spoke to Israel directly at Mount Horeb, and they all cried out, Moses, Moses, we can't stand this. We're going to be destroyed by this voice. Let God speak to you and we'll listen to you. And that's what they did, because they could not stand the voice of God, the words of God. I guess it'll be on the introductory video when we get to heaven, and we all are sent into the induction hut in heaven, the induction palace probably in heaven, and we all get to watch this multiple thousand year VHS video of what's happened so far. And we will get to see what Jesus wrote in the sand. Until then, it's all speculation. But the one other thing in this that I don't question at all is Jesus' dealing with this woman. Don't misunderstand Jesus in this. Jesus isn't saying, it's all right, love, don't matter that you committed adultery, it's absolutely fine. He isn't saying that. Jesus is saying, hasn't anyone condemned you? Well, I haven't come to condemn you either. I've come to save you. This was a living out of the words of Jesus that Jesus had said, I have not come to judge the world, I have come to bring freedom. And Jesus brought freedom to that woman. But with a small price, he said to her, don't do it again. And do you know what? When we come to Jesus, We're always very, very happy that he sets us free. But we're not always quite so happy that he says, don't do that again. But that is the demand of God on our lives. That we change our behaviour. Some people say, well, that's not very 21st century, Stephen. No, it isn't. 21st century needs to change. Because God's demand is that we obey his commands. You know what? His commands are not burdensome. They're not irksome. They're not heavy. He just wants us to walk with him in relationship. He wants us to be friends. And in doing so, he asks us not to offend him by our lifestyle. I am very grateful for this passage. It might create loads of questions in my head, but actually, that's a very good thing, because the Bible is full of answers. And when I look at this and I look at my own questions, I see that there are answers here prepared for me, even in John's Gospel, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came not to condemn, but to set free. Jesus came to change the world one person at a time. And you know what? Today I know that worldwide the church is growing at a phenomenal rate. In this city of York, the church is just about growing. In this country, the church is dipping in some places. In London, the church is growing at quite a rate of knots. But once you get outside of Europe, the church is growing phenomenally. You know, whatever people tell you about America, and it's a very strange place, the fact is, the church is good in America. But you go south, you go to Mexico, the church is mushrooming. You get into South America, the church is growing faster than you can count. You go over into Africa, there are nations that are over 70% Christian in Africa. That's an amazing fact. The truth is, we are behind the times in this country. You look over at China, and if you try to push past the official figures, we recognise that by 2020, there will be a higher percentage of Christians in China than in North America. And that is revival. The fact is, a lot of it's underground, but I was speaking to a Chinese national last year and they said, tell the English people not to pray that persecution will stop, but to pray that we will be able to stand up under it. And these things are fantastic truths, but the fact is, we are in a growing organisation. Why? Because it's organic. It's an organism. It's not just a club that we pay our dues for. This is the body of Christ. And I am thankful tonight that Jesus looked at me and he said, I'm not condemning you. Just stop sinning. And he called me to follow him. And I believe that he has called you to follow him too. We must all follow him. That is the purpose of God. You know, if you want to know what the will of God is for you, it's follow Jesus. It's really simple. The Bible says it, just follow Jesus. You might say, well, I don't know where he's going. Well, that's fine. The Bible tells us that Abraham followed God and he had no idea where he was going. How can you set off on a journey when you don't know where you're going? Abraham did. And that's what we're all called to do. Set off on a journey with Jesus. Doesn't matter that you don't know where it's going to end up. What matters is that we follow him. Would you like to bow your heads with me in prayer? just want to say to you tonight that Jesus loves you. Wherever you have come from, whatever journey you are on, I just want you to know tonight, Jesus does not condemn you. Nobody in this church condemns you. But Jesus is calling out to you. Will you walk with me now? Will you stop sinning? Will you walk with me? And that call is on each one of our lives. I just want to give you the opportunity tonight of making a response. If you feel that Jesus is talking to you tonight and you want to just say to you and to God, God, I'm hearing, I'm just making this response to you because I want you to know I mean this, then I would just like to encourage you, while no one is looking, while every head is bowed, just stick up your hand and take it down again. And then I will know to pray with you. No one else will know. Thank you. And we will just pray and God will walk with you. Father, just thank you for this one that's made this indication that she wants to walk with you. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name that you will draw very close. And Lord, for anyone that hasn't indicated but wanted to, Lord, we just pray that you will be close to them. Lord, in a world which has a lot of pain and a lot of unknowns, we come to you knowing that you know the future and you are a safe hand to hold as we walk towards it. Lord, tonight, be with us, bless us. May we all know the goodness and the power of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.